This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Good day, show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll continue to take your guesses for Hugh's clues. You may need a third clue after this segment. We'll get to our daily mock at 1 o'clock, and we will acknowledge you people coming up later in the show. You people, Douglas, almost made it all the way. Almost won the whole thing. Hugh, has your life been different after the bracket? After the reveal yesterday that I told you so is a national champion now?
Nah, not really. No. We're trying to schedule this trip to one of these amusement parks. Probably go to Hershey because it's closer.
You're celebrating Hershey Park?
Hershey Park. Get some chocolates.
You going to go on a roller coaster?
Definitely not getting on a roller coaster.
When's the last time you were on a roller coaster?
You know what's funny? Like, Hollis was trying to get me to go to that one of those establishments.
Hollis goes on roller coasters?
No.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, he tried to get me to go to one of them establishments.
That didn't work out?
Establishment?
You talking about an amusement park or something different?
The shoe model space.
Ah, I got
the shoe
you.
Model, all right. Model, the shoe
I'm looking at a three.
All right, from there, let's go to our guest in studio, Elliott Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliott, how we doing?
What up? How you guys doing today?
How
We're
you
good.
Doing?
There's a lot going on.
I got a favorite, Hugh. I got two of them, maybe. I don't know if either of these were on the bracket, actually.
Oh, well, we have next year's bracketology up already. So
one is 5 shots of Honey Jack at the airport, Hugh.
Oh. You know what?
Yeah, that's not nice, many Hugh. Have gotten to know, but I got to know well
Five.
On our trip to Kansas
that's
City.
That's quite a few.
Yeah. The other one, and I think this one should have won, Hugh singing Crazy. I think it's by CeeLo Green. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite Hugh clip.
Songbird Hugh made it out of the first round.
Yeah. I think it must have, right?
Yep. Yeah. Living in this big blue world.
This is good.
No, Honey Jack hits the spot.
It does. Get you going for the flight.
Well, yeah.
That was a long
normally,
day.
Yeah, and normally it helps with the anxiety that you have when you go on these trips, man.
Yeah.
So it helps with the anxiety.
Yeah. When I was listening back to One Shining Hugh yesterday, it reminded me of when you almost didn't make it out of Florida. That's one of my... He was not in a good way, and he couldn't...
Is this for the spring training trip?
Yeah, almost made it to make it home. If the lady didn't help him at the kiosk, we were
leaving
him there.
She's like, no, we got you. We got you. I got you. And I was like...
There you go.
Yeah, it's because I was not functioning correctly at that moment.
Or correctly, depending how you
it happens.
That, you
it does. All right, Elliott, we are, 15 days away from the NFL draft? It's pick number 32. All right, Elliott, as you go through this here, what do you think their biggest need is? So Ray was on yesterday with the morning show and going over what he thought their biggest needs were. What do you think the biggest need is as we enter the draft?
So I think the biggest need on the roster is safety. I think you could argue the biggest need long term, which is maybe how you should view the draft, would probably be defensive tackle. But at 32, if I could pick one player in this draft outside of Abdul Carter, who is just not realistic, but if I could pick one player in the draft to put on the roster, for me, it would be Malachi Starks. I think he fills an obvious
That's
need
Georgia
for him.
That's a Georgia kid, right?
The Georgia safety, yeah. Fills an obvious need for him. But also, I think it has a very high floor. I think he could come onto the Eagles next year and be an impact player right away. So when I look at the needs on this team, safety is there because Sidney Brown's extremely unproven. I know that he has potential, and there's a lot to like about his game. He's a hard hitter. He plays with intensity. I do think he trusts his instincts maybe a little too much sometimes, which causes him to give up big plays. Excuse me, or to miss tackles, but safety would be number one. But I do think, as much as I like Moro Ojomo, and I do think he'll have a good year, it's critical that they have a pass-rushing defensive tackle to put next to Jalen Carter. Because if they don't, it's going to really limit his ability to impact the game.
When you look at their depth chart right now, and I know it's just a ESPN website depth chart, there's not even a person behind Ojomo on the depth chart. There's nobody there.
It's Jordan Davis, who I think Jordan Davis... I do think improved last year. I feel better about Jordan Davis sitting here today than I did this time last year. But even in the improvements he's made, he is not an impact pass rusher. Moore Ojomo does have really good pass rushing stats. Now, he doesn't have a career sack. That's not great.
Or like the pass rush win rate type of stuff.
Yeah, he wins a lot of those. He gets hurries. All those are true. But they have to add or find somebody that on passing downs, you feel really confident can be out there and make an impact. Because this defense, they have a lot of talent, but they're so dependent on Jalen Carter. I mean, you can make an argument.
Oh, yeah, he's a straw. That stirs the drink, no question.
Because for a bunch of reasons, A, he makes everyone on the defensive line better. And as good as the secondary players are, like Jalen Carter helps them as well. I would argue if they could pick one player not to lose to a season-ending injury next year, it would probably be Jalen Carter.
Yeah, there's a fair point. He might be their most indispensable.
Saquon's there, Jalen Hurts is there.
Obviously the quarterback.
But there's so much talent on offense that I think that like losing Jalen Carter would be massive.
They could be a bad defense if he got hurt.
Yeah, I think he has that type of impact. So it's important they find a player next to him that allows him to be the best version of himself.
All right, you mentioned safety. Let's listen to this. Justin Simmons, a free agent. He has connection, obviously, to Fangio all those years where Simmons was one of the better safeties in the league in Denver. He went to Atlanta last year, and now he's a free agent again. It sure sounds like he thinks he could end up here. Justin Simmons, free agent, and he was on with Kay Adams yesterday. And he talked about being, picking where he goes and talking about ending up as a Philadelphia Eagle. Here's Justin Simmons.
Sorry. This is totally on me.
The Eagles, though, I mean, how much does the connection with Fangio and Christian Parker, by the way, the DBs coach, how much does that help and tilt the scale a little bit? Be honest.
Yeah, it does. Like, as honest as I can be, like, I'm a lot of it too, going back to your question earlier about Atlanta, like there was a lot of new, right? There's a new system. There's a new way to do it. Like going to Philly with Vic, you know exactly what you're getting out of me. I know exactly what I'm getting out of them because I've been in the system. I still have a ways to go to mastering it, but there's some things and nuances that I know that Vic likes, that I know that Christian Parker likes. And I think I could really help in that area. Obviously them moving on from CJ and what he's poured into that city there is big shoes to fill, but I love what they have going on with Blankenship and the rest of the supporting cast there. And so, it's interesting. I'm excited to see what happens.
He almost talks as if it's going to happen. Like he's almost putting himself here before he's here.
So
trying to speak it into existence.
Yeah. What do you think about so Simmons is on the wrong side of 30 and he just played 1 year and now he's again a free agent. What do you think about that fit?
So as a player, I think it's a good fit. And if you want to talk about what they're losing with Chauncey, the player, as opposed to the person, Chauncey does create turnovers. Mm-hmm. Justin Simmons does create turnovers. If you look at his time in the NFL, he has consistently produced multiple turnover seasons. So there's that fit. My thing with Justin Simmons is twofold. One, I think if they wanted Justin Simmons, they would have had Justin Simmons already. You could have had him last offseason. I'm sure he wasn't super expensive to acquire at the deadline. I know that Chauncey and they weren't going to do that, but they have had times where they could acquire him and they have not. But the other thing is, I think they have sold a message, and it's a message I agree with, but like of let's give the young guys a shot, that it would be pretty hypocritical to be like, let's give Sidney a chance. Let's see how Jalix Hunt can do. Let's look at Kenyon Green. And then to sign someone in Justin Simmons, who clearly is coming here to start. Like, Justin Simmons is not going to be playing special teams as a backup. So I think in terms of the chances he could be here, I think Sidney gets OTAs. And if Sidney's a disaster in OTAs, then maybe they bring Justin Simmons in. But I do think they are going to give these young guys a chance to earn the job before they go out and sign somebody or trade for somebody that would be a clear-cut starter.
So if they had interest in Simmons, they'd have to hope he stays in the free agent market until the summer.
Yeah, now if I remember correctly, he didn't sign until late last year, right? Wasn't even in training camp. Signed with the Falcons. So it's pretty clear he wants to play here. And I don't blame him. I mean, if I were him, coming to the Philadelphia Eagles is a pretty sweet job for him. He knows the coordinator. He has a good chance of winning a Super Bowl. But I think the Eagles probably know that too. And I don't think they're in a rush to sign Justin Simmons.
All right, Elliot, let's get to with you what we were discussing earlier. So we do the mock draft every day at 1 o'clock, right? Daily mock at 1. And a few times in the last couple weeks, the Eagles have drafted a wide receiver at 32.
Yeah.
I feel like every year we have some sort of variation of this conversation. But now this year, coming off of all the defensive players they lost and how they didn't throw the ball that much last year, what's your take? They take a wide receiver at 32.
So with all the normal caveats of you don't know who's on the board, all that, right? Like, I'd be fine with him taking a receiver at number 32. I think for a couple reasons. A, we can say they don't pass the ball a ton, and I get that. But, like, I don't know if that's going to be a formula for success next year. I think they are going to have to throw it more. And when they threw it last year, they were pretty good at it. So in the conference championship game and in the Super Bowl, they had to throw the ball. And the fact that they were able to do it is why they have a Super Bowl ring.
So I agree with that before you go on. But since Sirianni got here, Sirianni and Hurts, it doesn't matter who the number three is. They don't throw the ball to that guy.
No,
who was the guy from the Colts in 21 that came here?
He's with the Cardinals now. I can't think of his name.
Is it Pascal?
Yes, Pascal, yeah.
Quez Watkins, Pascal, Dotson, Zacchaeus, none of them get a lot of targets. So, like, to me, it's not so much if the player could play or can help. Is it worth the resource? Is he gonna get the ball more than 20 times
the
whole year?
So he's definitely not. Like, if you draft a guy at 32, he is not going to put up big numbers.
That's what I mean.
But I think the benefit of drafting a guy at 32 is twofold. One, it is an extremely expensive insurance policy against AJ or Devontae going
down.
That's
true.
And you could argue that's money well spent. When the Eagles are in, like, a situation where they have a lot of, they have, like, they're going to be throwing the ball, and if they go down, he's a key player. I think it's worth paying that insurance policy. But two, if you draft this guy and he's awesome, it does give you roster flexibility a year from now.
I agree with that.
If you want to move on from AJ, I think they would move on from AJ before they'd move on from Devontae. But if you want to move on from one of these high-paid receivers, it gives you that flexibility.
All right, let's play with that conversation because someone just brought that up, a caller. Do you think, and leave Devontae out, do we think AJ would handle this well?
If they drafted a receiver
You're saying
if they draft a receiver 32, how would AJ handle it?
I mean, he could discern what you said as simply as you could. They might get rid of me in a year. This is my, you said it earlier, this might be my replacement. So is he going to handle that all right?
I think he would because... And, you know, look, I've not spoken clearly to AJ about this. This is just me guessing.
Yeah, your guess.
I think AJ likes it here in Philadelphia. He loves being, like, AJ's already been traded. So he's been paid. He has a Super Bowl ring. I think if they drafted a guy at 32 and AJ thought maybe I'm traded in a year, I'm sure he wouldn't like that. But I think AJ's well aware of the business of it. And I also think from my experience of talking to teammates of AJ's, he's such a good teammate. I can't picture him... you know, icing the rookie receiver out or anything like that. So, you know, if a year from now, if he gets traded to the Patriots, is AJ going to be heartbroken? I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he would ice the receiver out. He seems like a good teammate with his guys. Last year, they had the best team we've ever seen them have, and he's reading a book on the sidelines where he's not getting the ball.
Yeah, but the book thing is, nothing.
But he was obviously trying to channel his emotions, right?
Yes,
that's what he did.
Yes.
So now we're going to add another player to his position and throw the ball to that guy. I don't think he's going to be happy.
Well, first of all, I don't know if that guy's going to get the ball thrown to him.
Well, then we shouldn't draft him.
No, but the point I'm making is if the best player on their board at 32 is a receiver, then I think you have to take that player. I wouldn't take AJ into consideration here other than it does give you roster flexibility. A year from now, you have an option.
You guys are troublemakers is what you guys are.
No, because he has vision. He has vision.
Vision, yeah.
That's what it is.
The other thing
we have no defensive players besides like five.
That's not true, number one. They have a lot of really good defensive
players.
The
offense is going to carry it away.
How many defensive players can you count on their production right now? Carter.
Bond.
Quinion. Cooper.
Reed Blankenship.
I guess.
Absolutely. You can absolutely count on really good starting safety play from Reed Blankenship.
Pretty good starting
safety. Bryce Huff.
No, I think really good. I think Reed's a really good starting safety. Yeah, and then there's Bryce Huff.
But, all right, so we got to Reed.
And Nolan.
Nolan's coming off a major injury.
No, Nolan Smith.
Oh, sorry. Well, he is too, actually. He's coming off of the...
Yeah, coming off the
tricep.
Arm.
I think we've learned in the past year the tricep's not a major injury. It was a rough year for the stock of the tricep. No, like, everybody played on it. BG played on it. Nolan played on it.
It does change his offseason, though. Nolan Smith is not in the gym lifting right now. He's rehabbing an injury. It changes his offseason.
But he's probably here rehabbing, though.
I'm sure he is.
I'm not concerned about the recovery.
Watching a lot of film.
To be clear, I jumped the gun. I thought you said Nakobe.
Oh,
yes. Nakobe's coming off a major injury.
Yeah, yeah. No. Right, so we're
so
up to...
So Nolan, I agree with
if
you.
If we say Nolan, that's six.
Six?
I mean, but to be fair, how many teams can you go on and say over half the starters, you know you're going to get high-level play from?
Well, probably not many, but
that's the point I'm making.
But the Eagles were the best defense last year, and now we're unsure about half.
But who did they lose? They lost Darius Slay, Chauncey, so that's two.
Sweat, Milton.
Milton was a good player for them. I think Milton's loss is being overstated a little bit. Now, like, Milton was a really good player, for sure. But let's not act like throughout the year we were singing Milton's praises of how much he was helping the defense.
We probably didn't do it enough.
Yeah.
I mean, in
for,
fairness.
For a reason. I mean, he is a rotational defensive tackle.
No, so I understand your point. But we're now, in this conversation about the receiver, we're going to take their best resource the whole offseason, because they didn't spend any money,
You're right.
And use it on not replacing any of those guys. But it just feels like it's illogical.
But I think that's a flawed way to look at it.
Well, are they trying to win the Super Bowl next year, or are they building a team for 3 years from
but
now?
I think that's also a flawed way to look at it.
Well,
I think
which is it?
When you draft, you have to take the best player. If you get into like, well, we have a need here, or we've spent too much on the offense, like, that is how you miss. Like with Jalen Reagor, the miss of Jalen Reagor was in part because they went into that draft wanting a specific type of player. They wanted someone that could do what Jalen Reagor did, and obviously Reagor was not able to do that. So if they're sitting at 32 and they go, well, we can only count on six of our offensive defensive starters, like, that's how you end up drafting someone that is not equipped to be that 32nd pick.
So while I agree with your premise, we all know that's not how this works. If the best player on the board's a quarterback, they're not taking a quarterback at the first round.
Yeah, but that's an extreme example.
But you just said best player.
Right, but we know that there's a difference there.
I know, but why? Yeah. But there could be a difference in offense, defense.
But the difference is the quarterback will not play. Like, I mean, barring injury, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you take a receiver, now I don't think he's going to get the ball a ton, but he at least can be out on the field, with right? So I just think, I get your point. I do think you're understating the talent on the defense, though. So a flaw in your whole point is that there is talent on the defense. But
it's a thin defense. It's gone from a deep defense.
I don't even know if that's true, though.
We just said we don't even know who Ajomo's backup is.
How many teams,
Ajomo, who didn't play much last year, we don't know who his backup is.
How many teams can field a defense with better players than Jalen Carter, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean? Like, there is elite talent on that defense. You're right, the backup defensive tackle isn't great. But how many teams have a great backup defensive tackle?
Well, hold on, that's backups.
But you're setting.
I don't
them,
even know who their starters
so you're
are.
Setting the bar high.
Yeah, you're setting the bar. I think unrealistically high. We're not going to see many teams with the depth that the Eagles had last year.
I agree, but I'd like to replace some of that with their first round pick.
But if you reach
for a defensive guy, that's how you end up with a miss.
Well, Howie could also trade up. I mean, you've mentioned this. Like,
I think they're more likely to trade up than out.
Okay,
proud of him though. Proud
because
of
he agrees with your offensive nonsense.
I'm just saying it ain't even about him agreeing
nonsense.
With me. We don't agree all the time.
No.
I'm just proud because he's grown right before our eyes.
Exactly.
Aren't you proud of him?
Well, I am. He's the Eagles inside of the year.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
they
he had my
the
vote.
Belt from me.
He, who stripped the belt?
Well, I won the belt, the WIP belt. I was correctly given the belt.
That was messed up.
Yeah,
I heard
and then
that.
Just gave it to Ike.
Not cool.
Which, they gave Ike the belt.
Yeah,
what? But
like,
why?
Again, I'm an Ike guy. Ike makes great points. But I was the one that held Sean McDermott's feet to the fire.
He did.
The one that did that.
And I did that for the city of Philadelphia.
He did it for the city. He put on for the city.
Yes, for the team, for the fans.
I can't even believe McDermott's from here. He's a joke at
he's
this
a lame.
It's, yeah, it's crazy.
He's a lame.
All right, Elliot, before we say goodbye, give me a name.
I have a draft hypothetical for you, actually.
Oh, you do that.
Would you trade every single pick that the Eagles own in this year's draft for Abdul Carter?
Everyone?
Yeah, so the first, the second, the third, the fourth, all the fives.
Not everyone, though?
Every pick. So you leave the draft with only Abdul Carter.
Hugh?
I tell you what.
That's a yes.
No, because see, here's the thing.
He's getting a long talk to it.
Bryce is not happy right now.
No, here's the thing. Aaron Maben came from Penn State, too. He wore number 11. Like, he's the outlier, because I think of LeVar Arrington.
Micah.
Yep.
And him. But Aaron Maben's the outlier.
So you're afraid he might not be all that?
But no, because I remember Aaron Maben got drafted, and they when you look at all of them, similar body types, he's the outlier.
Right.
So no, you wouldn't do it.
No, I think he's saying yes.
But if
that player's the outlier, right, then more likely than not.
Yeah, yes or no?
Player.
Would you trade it all for Abdul?
I'm not all in the eggs in one basket guy.
Yes.
I would do it.
I would do it too.
You're really only talking about the first two picks. Because like all these fives, you know. Like, well, they're just complete throws.
Could we get Sirianni and him on the cover of a magazine? One's wearing a wedding dress.
And Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
See,
the only two times it's ever
Carter
happened was for a
put on a
back.
Wedding dress. I would not like that. That means he's prostituting himself.
He would not do the trade.
Definitely not. If you put on a wedding
I'm in. I would trade it all for Abdul.
Do you think the top four team would take that? I think there's something about every pick that adds to more of the value than what they're actually worth.
Right. It's not just 1, 2, 3, and 5. It's the whole draft.
Yeah. It's like you get all the picks. Like, everyone's like, oh, how can I say no to that?
Well, I don't know who would do it. I mean, the Giants should do it.
Yeah, the Giants should do it.
Right, they're years away from
being
relevant.
Honestly, the Patriots should do it. Like, if you're
in
the top five,
if
you're not taking a quarterback, like...
The Browns should do it.
Yeah, of course.
The Browns are terrible.
The Browns taking Travis Hunter would be a massive mistake, by the way. He is not somebody in my opinion.
He's awesome.
He is, whatever you think of him, he is not someone that is going to go and contribute, in my opinion, to a losing team.
Wait a second.
Like, he needs players around him. He needs smart coaches.
Agreed. But you are a guy that fancies himself as a potential GM, right?
Yeah, and I would not take Travis Hunter.
But I think you're missing the ultimate roster value he brings. It's two players in one.
First of all, he's not two players in one.
I think he is.
He is not going to play both sides of the football.
But he could.
We think. And my biggest concern with Travis, he did it in Colorado in college. A lot of people do things in college they don't do in the NFL.
But no one does this. I mean, this is pretty rare.
But I would rather have someone that's great at one thing than like really good at two things. I think in the NFL,
if he's a star corner and a good receiver, he's instantly one of the most valuable players in the league.
In my opinion, he will not play both sides of the ball effectively.
Why?
I just think it's impossible to do.
They said it's at Shohei Ohtani. Look at him.
What meeting room are you in throughout the week? What positional things are you practicing? What game plan are you learning? All that on his plate?
He'd have to do one as full-time and the other one as a part-time.
Right, so you're not really getting two players. You're getting one player and someone that takes a few snaps on offense.
But what if he is a star corner and your slot receiver?
He can't be your slot receiver.
Yes, he can.
He's going to learn the offense and defensive playbook. He's going to practice with both units. He's going to be in both meeting rooms.
I'm just saying, if I had a bad team, I would take the shot on him.
Because I would absolutely not. If I was him, he will only succeed on a great team that can use him properly.
Then the Eagles should trade up for him.
Look, he would be awesome on the Eagles because they're a smart team that doesn't really have many holes. But to go on a top five team, I think it is a waste of a draft pick.
In on Travis Hunter, Hugh? I think he's awesome.
I think, like to Elliot's point, what is he going to play? Because you're talking about two different needs.
How much do you think the during the week thing matters that I brought up? Like, what meeting room is he in?
I think if you were asking me and I'm the coach, he's probably going to be more corner.
I think he's a corner that's going to play some
more
receiver.
Corner
but
than
as
receiver.
A former player, my question is, like, you play defensive end. What if you also played fullback? Like, how hard would it be to, you're in the meeting. Now, fullback's not a hard position, but like, you know.
Wow, just a shot at Richie live on the air.
I mean, it is because you have
kidding,
to know.
I'm kidding.
But you got to know, you have to know the formations. You have to know the check
right.
down. You have to know all that. That's a lot.
That's what I'm saying. So if you're a slot receiver, you can say it's not a big role because you're the three, but you still have to know the entire
Yeah, you
got to
know all. You got
to
know
all
the
checks. You have to be in the meetings throughout the week. You have to practice with the quarterback.
I've seen a lot of third Eagles receivers that he can't do what Olamide Zaccheaus did 2 years ago here. Or
I think it's
Watkins.
Harder to do. It's not about the production. It's about learning everything he would have to do.
Right, but in this offense or a lot of offenses, the third receiver sometimes is just there to kind of run a fly pattern down the field. Like, he's not the primary guy. I agree with you. I don't think he's a primary corner and receiver. That feels impossible.
But then he's not two guys. Like, you're really just talking about filling up a role that we agree is not important. Like, I don't think when people talk about Travis Hunter, they don't say, you're going to get Quinyon Mitchell and Olamide Zaccheaus.
Well, no, but to me, it is important. You guys want to use a first-round pick on a third receiver.
I want to use a first-round pick on a receiver to be a quality backup in case someone goes down.
All right. Well, we'll see. I'm a Hunter guy. You're obviously...
Well, you know, when I'm GM, I'm not drafting.
Well, you're missing
unless
out.
I'm 25 plus, like 25th
this guy's good. This guy might be the best player in the draft.
We'll see. I'm not convinced.
All right. I am with you on Abdul. All right, Elliot, we appreciate it. You clearly have your draft season hat on. You're ready.
I'm ready. I'm excited for draft night.
I am too. It's going to be fun. All right. 215-592-9490 for Elliot. We appreciate it. All right. When we come back, another clue for Hughes Clues. You guys obviously need one. We'll get to a bit of recent MLB news that we didn't get to yet, and it does affect the Phillies in a big way now and moving forward. Your calls in the bullpen, is it a problem? A lot of people just want to rip Rojas today. I think Sosa takes a big part of what happened in the outfield last night. And, of course, a receiver at 32, would you do it? No, they should not do it. They should draft a defense player. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.